delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Welcome back to it. It is Free for All Friday. The hotline is open. It's got your name on it. Actually, it's got my name on it, but that's not important now. What's important now is that the number is 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. Take a detour now into the problems affecting Flint, its water supply, its lead levels, the cleanup, and the future. Where do we go from here? The governor came out with a 75-point plan. It comes with a lot of cash, and despite all of that, Democrats still calling for his head. Our next guest is a Democrat. Well, we don't know if he's calling for his head, but we're going to find out. Jeff Ehrman, a member of the Michigan House of Representatives, representing the 53rd District. Jeff, welcome back.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. So, all right. Give me first of all, your assessment of the governor's 75-point plan in Flint.
Well, you know, I think it's great whenever he's coming out with these plans. It shows that he's intending on taking some action. I do feel that the state's response has lacked the urgency and completeness that I would like to see and have been making those kinds of suggestions all along. But I do think there are some good items in that 75-point plan, and I also think that the task force report that he commissioned and that was released this week has some good suggestions in that as well, and I'm hopeful that the select committee that I'm working on with my colleagues is going to do a proper investigation of what happened so we can try to take some of these action steps to prevent another tragedy like this.
Are you among those that are asking for the governor to resign?
I'm not.
Okay, but your leadership is. But you're not on that side of the fence at this point.
No, I really felt that when I was given the opportunity to be on the Flint Water Investigatory Committee for the legislature, that I needed to step away from, any determination about whether or not it was time for the governor to go and really just focus on getting to the facts, trying to figure out exactly what happened when, get a full forensic analysis so that we can really get to the meat of what do we need to do to prevent this from happening again. And so I felt I needed to step out of that consideration until I had a chance to really just dig in fully. That's my work right now, is to get to the facts.
Fair enough. Jeff Ehrman, member of the Michigan House of Representatives, a Democrat from the 53rd District. Jeff, let me ask you this. I've done a lot of reading on this, as a lot of people have. And the one thing I keep coming back to is the federal copper and lead rule, which, if I'm reading this right, the Flint Water Department violated federal law the moment they switched from the Detroit water supply to their temporary supply waiting for their new system to be built, because they didn't have anti-corrosives in the water to prevent from happening exactly what did end up happening, and they did not have a written plan, both of which would be blatant violations of federal law. Now, so my take on this recently has been there was incompetence at the local level. They believed they could handle taking over the water supply, which proved not to be true. But then there was indifference, it seems to me, from both the state level and the federal level for a long period of time. What is your assessment looking at it?
Well, if you read the task force report that came out this week that the governor commissioned, these are the people that the governor put out there to investigate this. What they said about the issue you bring up is that the idea that there was failure at all levels of government it is true, but it is not fair to say that the blame, so to speak, is equally apportioned. The governor's task force said the responsibility here really lies mostly at the state level, because it was the DEQ who was responsible for administering the lead and copper rule. They were the ones who bungled and made a number of mistakes and misinterpretations of the lead and copper rule, among other water quality rules. And also, they pointed out that it was the policy of emergency management, of getting rid of local democracy, that really led to that indifference and led to that disconnection between the local people who were coming forward with bottles of brown, smelly water saying, this water isn't right. And they would come to their local elected officials, and they would come to the emergency manager, and their local elected officials were powerless to help them. Even though they passed resolutions to try to switch back to DWSD, those were ignored. And the emergency manager wasn't different.
No, I know. I get that.
Look, I'm your local. You know, I've not abrogated your democracy. I'm your elected official. He ignored them too. So that's
Jeff,
what the task force said.
Hold on, and I get all that.
Please, yeah.
But the suggestion somehow that these emergency managers are somehow to blame for all these problems. Flint was in a financial crisis because of 50 years of mismanagement, fiscally, socially. The whole damn city was run poorly, and somebody had to step in and do something. So this notion to demonize emergency managers to me is you know, it's beyond the pale. Flint was a disaster. It's still recovering from decades of mismanagement. Am I wrong about that?
I think that the state had an obligation to get involved in Flint and to, you know, help right their financial ship. And I think that there is little disagreement about the idea that the old emergency manager law, the emergency financial manager law we had, that still had some levers of control and accountability at the local level, so that the local officials had some ability to keep things on a level and to provide.
The problem is with Flint and
the
other places is
that is key.
There was no accountability for decades. That's the problem. That's how we ended up there. We were there. It wasn't because the governor wanted to go, hey, I want to take over Flint today. Come on. I mean,
That's not what I'm suggesting. No, that's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that local government is important, and it's important because it's eyes and ears on the ground. It's important because they have a personal connection to the people who are being served, and it's important because it's another level of accountability. It's another check and balance. And when we completely, as a legislature, as a state, swept that off the table with the changes in the emergency manager law, that made our emergency manager law weaker in the sense that there's less local accountability. And that was central to the failing in Flint. That was central to the indifference that you mentioned at the state level to the concerns of the local people there in Flint. So, you know, that's what the governor's task force said. They said we need to get better water regulations, we need to get better testing protocols, we need to improve our emergency manager law to inject a little bit more accountability at the local level.
And I don't disagree with that. But if Flint hadn't squandered its own resources for decades, much like many other municipalities, Flint is not alone in squandering.
Yeah, I agree.
And something has to happen.
If you want to go down that road, I think we should. Let's talk about cities like Flint, who at one time, you know, 80 years ago, were booming and bustling, and they were doing great. And what happened was, because of very large economic changes that were worldwide, this whole effect of globalization, where the auto plants moved from cities like Flint and cities like Detroit, they moved further away, eventually they moved to the south, then they moved overseas. These cities were on the receiving end of huge changes in the global economy that were contributing to their downfall. So let me just give you an example. The city of Detroit went from 1.8 million people, almost 2 million people, all the way down to 600,000. And now
also
we're saying that their inability to pay their pension obligations is because of mismanagement. That's just not accurate. Mismanagement and incompetence is a part of the story.
There is some truth to that because hold on, you got your part, and I'll give mine.
You're right.
It went from 1.8 million people to 650,000. That's correct. It's the only city in world history to go above a million and come back below it, ever. And so they have obligations to keep. But you know as well as I do that sweetheart deals were made between public sector unions and politicians to give them deals that were unsustainable, that were too big, that were, you know, golden parachutes for everybody, that we're now picking up the bill for. So there was mismanagement. You're not going to sit there and tell me there wasn't mismanagement. Now, hold on. Can you stick through the break? I'd like to continue the conversation. Jeff Irwin on the line, Democrat from the 53rd District of the Michigan House of Representatives. It's Free for All Friday on the Steve Gruber Show.